Good morning. This is Pastor Bill bringing you another News in Focus. This one is brought to you from Charisma News. And it was posted on the 4th, which was yesterday. It is written by Michael Brown. I was at the grocery store the other day when I was unexpectedly confronted with an adult-oriented magazine located right next to the vitamin section. I immediately had to look away from the front cover, which featured a scantily clad, seductively posed sex symbol. Yet it was only a few weeks ago that I read an article about how the same sex symbol loves to speak in tongues and has to restrain herself from outbursts in tongues while attending church services. What? This is actually a perfect illustration of American charismatic Christianity, where you can say you love Jesus, like the rapper The Game claims to do, and still frequent strip clubs, as The Game still does. Or where you can flow in the gifts of the Spirit and become a made-for-TV preaching sensation, only to announce that God told you you married the wrong woman, leading to a quick divorce and remarriage. Yes. This is the gospel of the 21st century, Spirit-filled Church of America, where the cross is bypassed, denial of the flesh is scorned, purity is called legalism, and if anything goes, anything goes if it feels good. It is the gospel of self, in which Jesus dies to make you into a bigger and better you, a gospel in which God is here to serve you and help you fulfill your dreams, and where the measures of all things is not how God feels about it, but how you feel about it. As a matter of fact, let me go in here and say it's not a gospel that drives you to go to the mission field. It's a gospel that tells you how to read books about you, how you should go to the mission field. You don't have radical love, Bill Sturm says. You read books about radical love, crazy love, radical. You read books about not being a fan, but you really are just a fan of not being a fan. In other words, it's not that you've gotten any more sold out to Christ. No, instead of bearing in our bodies the marks of Christ, we get them tattooed, and we call that Christianity. No. No, in our minds, if you're really good, and I mean if you're really on the conservative end of things, if you're really right with God, you'll put on a John Calvin t-shirt and talk Reformed theology over a latte with all of your other friends who are in their mid-20s trying to decide what they're going to do with their lives, and still, and maybe in their mid-30s, still trying to figure out maybe if their wife and them should have children. It's not a slam on those who cannot. It's a realization that we are a selfish Christianity. Back in the late 1950s, back to the article, there was a notorious gangster named Mickey Cohen. He attended Billy Graham meeting in Beverly Hills, and although he expressed some interest in the message, as revival historian J. Edwin Orr explained, Cohen, quote, made no commitment until sometime later when another friend urged him, using Revelation 3:20 as a warrant, to invite Jesus Christ into his life. This he professed to do, but his life subsequently revealed no evidence of repentance, that mighty change of mind, heart, and life. He rebuked his friend, telling him, "You did not tell me that I would have to give up my work," meaning his rackets. "He did not tell me that I would have to give up my friends," meaning his gangster associates. He had heard that so-and-so was a Christian football player, so-and-so a Christian cowboy, so-and-so a Christian actress, so-and-so a Christian senator, and he really thought that he could be a Christian gangster. Today, in some charismatic circles, you can be a Christian gangster, or at least a tongue-talking, seductive starlet, or a Christian lingerie model, or a strip club attendant. A strip club attending, Jesus speaking rapper, just to mention a few. After all, as we are reminded day and night, who are you to judge? I have liberty in Christ. Actually, what Jesus taught was that we should not judge hypocritically or superficially or unjustly, and that we should not condemn. But Jesus did say, now turn up the volume on your hearing aid, your iPod, your car radio, and your computer. Jesus did say, do not judge by appearances, but judge with righteous judgment. The Lord commands us to judge in John 7:24, as long as we do it rightly. Paul taught the same thing, writing to Christians in 1 Corinthians 5:11 through 12, not to associate with anyone who bears the name of a brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is not those inside the church whom you are to judge? In other words, Paul says you should not even eat with someone who is living ungodly and claims to be a believer. Why is it everyone seems to know the words judge not, but very few seem to know or care about the divine call to judge those inside the church, as Paul did in 1 Corinthians 5? Without a doubt, only the Lord knows who's saved and who's not, but the word makes things very simple for us, outlining God's part and our part, but it says in 2 Timothy 2:19, God's firm foundation stands sure, bearing this seal. The Lord knows who those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. And there you have it. To quote the words of John, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. Could God make himself any more clear? Unfortunately, as the historian Orr noted years ago, many have sadly forgotten that the only evidence of the new birth is the new life. And the scriptures make perfectly clear that if we profess to follow Jesus with our lips but do not follow him with our lives, we do not belong to him. It's time to say goodbye to this watered-down, sin-excusing, so-called gospel that offers everything and calls for nothing. It's time to get back to the cross and back to the truth. Otherwise, as America collapses in a heap of immoral ruin, the soft preachers of America will be largely to blame. And let me get even a little bit more closer to the corn where I love to plow. And that is, we love taking liberties that we're not even sure are ours. Can I remind you, Christian, Romans 14 says that if you cannot do something in faith that it is correct, you are sinning. You are sinning. If you cannot do something, say something, be somebody out of faith that it is the right thing to do, then you are sinning. So, here we are. Popular performance-based, like I talked about yesterday in the recording about athletes being more influential than faith leaders in America. We're getting back to this feelings-oriented, commitmentless Christianity where we swoon in our love songs to Jesus and gossip about our in-laws on the phone. Where we swoon in our love songs to Jesus and we feel spiritual talking about Reformed theology and we feel wonderful talking about whether we're pre, mid, post, whatever. And then we don't mind doing things that are indicative of a crowd that is averse to God and rebellious towards all things Bible. You don't need a verse of scripture that says you shouldn't look like you just were sprayed, dipped, and wormed and came in with the last music movement. You don't need to be a Seattle grunger to feel like that you're influential in your world. You don't have to be someone who says that I get right up to the edge, because after all, Jesus was loved by publicans and sinners. Well, the truth is, Jesus did things that we don't do, like preach the gospel and die on crosses. So, before we claim the liberty of the apostles and the freedoms that Christ seemed to exhibit, perhaps we should spend a day for a change bearing our cross. Titus 2:11-12, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Tell me, has grace taught you anything this week about your conduct, your thinking? Then how in the world do you believe that it is that same grace that brought you salvation? That's Titus 2:11-14. Thanks for listening.